Yeah, and I was watching Family Jewels last night with Gene Simmons and his family. And there's been a lot of Kiss news out there. They both got COVID, Gene and Paul, and they're back on the road. And Shannon Tweed, who is an actress and a former Playboy model, is his wife. And they've been together for like ever. And he's done some crazy, you know, they don't really talk about her, but they always talk about him, and he's such a successful business. And I always wonder, whenever you have a couple that obviously Sharon Osbourne and Osby, I love those stories when you know. And listen, there's blame to be put on both sides, right?
Right.
I'm not saying that Shannon or Sharon are unscathed and have done nothing wrong, but we know what their husbands have done.
Yeah.
They've gotten after, okay. Right? And they've, you know, they. Mm-hmm. There was even a story about Gabrielle Union talking about, you know, the fact that Dwayne Wade had a child with another woman outside their marriage.
Yep.
And I always wonder, that to me is a strong marriage. There's got to be something there, because I do think that when there's a lot of money involved, and I know you're laughing over there, that there's no reason to stay in that marriage, right? if it's irreparable and you can't fix it. And so the fact they're still together after all these years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Gene could still go out and find himself a 21-year-old if he wanted to.
Ugh. Yeah.
If a 21-year-old, I want to jump Gene Simmons, but he sticks with her. And maybe it's because she's put up with so much of his crap.
Well, I was just going to say.
But anyway, so she's on Baywatch on this episode, what would you say, 1988, 87? When was it big?
Yeah, because there's a lot of fluorescent going on there. there's a lot of body glove fluorescent.
I haven't. This is really...
Remember we talked about the manscaping?
Yeah.
This is earlier 80s. Because look at David Hasselhoff, man. He's got a big hairy chest there.
Yeah, but I think later on he was shaved up, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Well, because, maybe someone had a consultant.
Well, if you got abs, you shave it down.
All right.
If you don't have abs, see, you could do it now. But if you don't have defined abs, you put a little hair there.
That's right. Okay, so where are you going with this?
Anyway, I was being really, really shallow, and for some reason, I don't know why this is, but I have a problem with women with the Clint Eastwood dent in their chins.
The dent or cleft?
Cleft, dent, whatever you want to call it.
Hey now. And my daughter.
Does she have one? I've never noticed.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way I knew that my kids. Both my kids have got them.
Really?
Yeah. You'll see on Max. You'll see.
No, it's one of those things. Is that a...
It's a genetic.
On men...
Yeah.
It's a sign of masculinity.
No, my daughter's got
you look at a lot of old cowboy movies, a lot of guys got clefts.
Yeah.
A lot of cowboys got clefts.
Yeah, yeah.
John Wayne had clefts. They all got
my mom's got a cleft.
Really?
Yeah.
I said I was being shallow.
You are.
Jessica Simpson, I don't know, I can't get, it's not like a woman with an Adam's apple, for God's sakes. Although that would probably bother me a little bit more, particularly if she had balls.
Well,
too,
I will say that my daughter's,
yeah.
But I think it has to do with facial structure too. So obviously, my son.
I find your daughter.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, now, hey.
And your wife.
Appropriate. Yeah, we talked about that.
Look out now. I'm single.
I know. I think in women, or at least in my family, the women in my family who have a cleft, my mom, my daughter, one of my cousins. It's more subtle, and I don't know that the cleft.
I never noticed.
Yeah, look, see, I can make a butt cheek out of my.
Well, yeah, you're squeezing it together.
But it's a cleft. You can't do that. I have a cleft, so I can make a true butt cheek.
Really?
Yeah, see, because you have a cleft. Huh. A little thing. But it's more subtle in my daughter. My son's is much more pronounced. I'm pronounced. And I'm telling you, when they came out, because the whole fatherhood thing, mm-hmm. when they came out, and there was C-section, so they didn't come out, they came out. This way.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I thought this, but somehow I thought I'd see my eyes in my infant. Like, that's just this weird fantasy. Like, you know, they'd put the baby down and they were doing suctioning, all the stuff. And somehow I would look at them. This is weird. I can't believe I'm sharing this. God, see,
can you see a cleft?
Listen, this is what I'm doing. So I'm looking, and they look like a little alien.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nothing. I'm like, that doesn't look. Whoa, look at that. Both my kids came out.
With clefts.
Just enough. I'm
really?
Like, okay. That's my cleft.
That's my cleft.
That's my cleft because my wife doesn't have one.
If that baby.
I did.
Looks Oriental and does not have a cleft.
I did. I told
problem.
Jules who got literally her intestines laying that came back. Baby, they got a cleft just like mine. And she's like, that's great. That's great.
That's the one thing, if for some reason, it's like when you start looking at a woman's eyebrows too long.
I think everybody's eyebrows would start doing that. Eyebrows are like the weirdest thing, and I understand why they do.
They are strange,
aren't
they?
Well, it's an evolutionary thing. I mean, it makes total sense.
If you,
you got eyelashes and eyebrows to keep the shit out of your eyes.
If you go out with a really good-looking girl...
who's got bushy...
just look at her eyebrows for like
yep.
3 minutes straight and try not to look at anything else, and it'll ruin it for you.
You're going to have to watch that as you're moving forward in your...
Isn't that weird though? The eyebrows are the eyebrows are one of the strangest things.
Is this worse radio than it is Facebook Live? Because we're just sitting.
No, I just thought it was really weird that I was talking about Shannon. I thought it was weird. I was watching Family Jewels last night, and then I see Shannon tweet on the television. And I thought, well, that's bizarre. What are the chances of me seeing her on television? And because she could have been a transvestite. She could be in like a Vegas style show. She's got some man qualities about her.
Yes. Well, and she,
she's chiseled and she's strong. Although if you look at her old pictures, she's a woman. I mean, she's beautiful, but she's got some very strong looking man qualities. And maybe that's what the Clef's about.
She's a little more gender neutral, if you will. Androgynous. Let me put it that way. A little more androgynous, meaning.
That's so shallow of me. Sorry.
It is. Look at
and Jessica Simpson's kind of the same.
Is that her?
Yeah. We did something on Fox 6 yesterday.
Yeah.
And again, they give us about 4 minutes.
We get more. Did you see that?
4 or 5 minutes, whatever. We got to rip through it pretty quick because it was four of us talking. And sometimes they'll tackle things that we can get through, and we've never run out of time. Well, we always run out of time, but we're never.
Did you hear them, by the way? last night, you heard Vanessa.
Uh-oh.
15 seconds. 15 seconds. Wrap.
Yeah, we're never sitting there going, okay, what are we going to talk about for the next 2 minutes? No. It always runs out. So this article, and I pulled it up from the New York Post, Instagram is wreaking havoc on young girls and knows it. Briefly, talk about what they're talking about in this particular article, because it is very, very interesting. What is Instagram wreaking havoc on? What are they doing to young girls, and what are they doing that they know?
Instagram is not doing body shaming. What's happening is young girls, so we say young, teens and tweens, mostly teens, it's body comparison stuff. So you see a lot of girls... You see, you know, obviously people have Instagram accounts and influencers and others, beautiful women with beautiful bodies, some of which have been, you know, not only cosmetically altered, but filtered and all that kind of stuff, because they got filters they can use, et cetera. And so you see these young girls are scrolling through this stuff and they're seeing people's feeds and they're seeing this stuff, and there's a lot of body comparison. And, you know,
body comparison between who? The young girl and the girl they're looking at?
The person that they don't know. And they scroll through and look, there's another beautiful woman. I don't look like that. And I don't look like that. And then there's filters on that. Why can't I look like that? How come I'm like this? And what happens is it's called, you know, sort of like it's the doom scroll where, and they've done lots of studies. You get caught in it. And we've all been there scrolling through things. You're just in there. Well, it's image after image after image. And they're scrolling through it, and what they found in studies is that, you know, young girls who spend more time on Instagram have a worse perception of their body, more, not body dysmorphic disorder, but they have irrational sort of views about their body. They're more distressed, more depressed, and in some cases, depending on the studies, because there's an increased rate of mental health problems as well as suicide.
Yeah.
And now Instagram obviously has come out, and this has been through congressional hearings. Instagram has come out and said, look, there's studies showing that it's both sides. Girls feel bad about it, mm-hmm. and then there's things that girls watch on Instagram and they love.
Yeah.
And so what Instagram is doing, which I think is super interesting, and it's super controversial, but in a good way. They're creating artificial intelligence or algorithms to do what we call nudge girls away from those accounts if they're looking at them too much.
Yeah.
Which is, dude, that's the ad. That's the I'm thinking about buying a boat, and then the boat pops up on my... on my feed.
Yeah, such feelings of inferiority have partly contributed to an 18-year-old's desire for breast implants.
Yes.
I get down on myself as I'm often thinking, how do these influencers look so good in bikinis, flaunting all the fun stuff they do in places like the Bahamas? College freshman of Randolph, New Jersey, is among the 32% of young female Instagram subscribers identified by researchers as harmed by the platform. 32%. They found it exacerbates negative body image, low self-esteem, anxiety, depression, and in extreme cases, suicidal thoughts. It's a March 2020 study was commissioned by Facebook, which, of course, acquired Instagram about 9 years ago.
Yep.
And it goes on and on and on again. And there's all kinds of different ways you can actually edit and filter. I mean, a lot of that is through Apple, too. I mean, there's all kinds of different things you can do now on your phone when you take a picture of yourself to make yourself look better.
Oh, dude, you can do it on every virtual platform. I did it last night.
Yeah.
I did it last night. I was on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And I was going through just to make sure that the camera was focused on me, and I had never noticed this. They're like, touch up. There was literally a button, touch up your appearance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is that? I thought maybe
we see it with school pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, God, if they could take out pimples back in 1984 for my senior yearbook. I mean, you had to go to a professional for them to airbrush the pimples out of it because it was going to happen. Right before a big date or picture day, you were going to get a monster pimple on your nose or your forehead. It was going to happen. It just happens.
And that's the thing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you're the girl sitting there with the pimples, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking through and there's not a single girl on there who's posting with pimples. Mm-hmm. And even if you know these young girls, they know, okay, it's a filter. They know intellectually that it's a filter. You know what I mean? Like they're not being duped, but at the same time, there is this, well, even with a filter, I'm not going to look like that. And man, it is devastating. Now, again, Instagram would say, A, we do a lot of good things on Instagram. This is a whole social media argument. There's a lot of good things. Yeah. We're going to try to nudge. The other thing, you know, Instagram and others would say is, this is the job. It's not the job. I'm not speaking for Instagram. This is where parents have to come in. That yes, it's a powerful pull. And I said this yesterday on Fox. It is a powerful pull. It's an incredibly powerful pull. But it is a pull that is not designed specifically to harm young girls. This is social media. This is the internet. There are horrific things on the internet. The internet was not designed to corrupt you.
Yeah.
But it can.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's your job as a parent? And I have said this for years. When I became a parent, I didn't sign up for social media monitoring.
No.
But you know what? The rules changed or the policies changed.
Yep.
And now in parenting, you have to feed and clothe and teach them good morals and values and responsibilities, and you have to monitor social media. Sorry.
Yep.
That's it. And when I say monitoring, I mean part of it is how much time they're spending. And part of it is, too, it's your job to try to connect with your child or at least let them know that if they're struggling with these kinds of things, that you're there for them when they're ready.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing to do.
And again, I mean, it's important to let them know, too, that these are outliers. I mean, people want to be influencers. We did the whole thing on the study of the influencers. Three people wanted to be influencers. And after they became influencers, you can put enough money behind anything and you could become an influencer. All three of them were like, get me the hell out of here.
I don't want, because
everything I was posting was being scrutinized.
Of course.
I was getting hammered on everything I was doing. They went from 10,000 followers to 1,010,000 followers. And they're like, I'm out. I don't care about making the money. Just, I don't want to be part of that anymore. The Instagram thing is really interesting too, because, and we see this, my daughter again is 9 years old, but some of the things she says, I'm like, she thinks she's getting fat. I'm like, you're skinny as a stinking rail. She's 9 years old. And
well,
I'm like,
yeah.
What are you talking about? I can't eat. She won't eat ice cream right now. I'm not eating ice cream because I don't want to get fat. I'm like, dude, I could still throw you over my shoulder and I got a bad back. You're good. You know, go have fun.
But it's in there.
Yeah. And, I can't help but think that, you know, you don't have to subscribe to these social media platforms in order to see it all in its glory. All you got to do is just Google it and it'll come up. There's stories where you can get into people's accounts and go look at things, and you can get in. You can go through and scroll through Instagram without actually having an account on it. My son, I told my son, I said, you don't need to be on social media. This was about 2 years ago. He's 16 now. I'm like, he'll turn 17 in October. I said, you don't need to be on social media. You just don't. Now, if you want to be on some independent little thread, I don't know if they got these little morph groups or whatever where you can get your own. It's like fantasy football where you have your own fantasy league. If you can figure something out like that, and I think he's got something on Snapchat he does with.
Yeah.
But I mean, he pulls me up every morning. He sees my Twitter post and my Facebook post.
And he goes, Dad.
It's like, you're so cool, dude. Rock on.
Dude,
it's a great picture.
No, yeah. Or he's like, Dad. Yeah. My family does that all the time with me.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, you look like a total dork. That's my family. My family is constantly, my family is my, they'll hammer me before anybody that I don't know will hammer me.
Well, and maybe this is something that, because I'm always trying to look at the bright side here. And yeah, I would think that when you're looking at an influencer's page, and obviously it's not something that's God-given. Okay, this 18-year-old wants to get a boob job, right? Way too young because you're still growing. But if you are a little overweight, or you're not proud of the way you look, and you're looking at other people that you're never going to look like, maybe because you're not the same age or you live in the same town, you have to remember that when people are posting things, they're only posting the good stuff.
Yeah, but see, okay? this is the thing.
My point is, it may motivate you. It could possibly motivate you.
It could possibly motivate you. And we have, listen, there are definitely influencers.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, there are definitely, look, every influencer is not influencing in order to body shame. There's, I mean, again, look on Instagram. There's influencers on everything. Yep. People who are struggling with substance abuse. There's an influencer. I was there. Let me help you. Mm-hmm. Health and wellness tips. I mean, dude, that's my stuff. You know, my stuff is let me show you the way kind of stuff. So there's a lot of that. I think one of the things that we forget, and it's kind of mind blowing, with social media, it taps into a much more emotional part of who we are. And when I say taps into it, it if you will, it bypasses our intellectual piece. So again, I'll use the filters as an example, or the influencers. Like, yes, I know that whether they're in the Greek islands, and I know that they're only posting their good pictures of their vacation. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. I know that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have done that. And we know that, you know.
And remember, this is part of their job.
Well,
an influencer's job is to post things on their platforms where they influence people. So while you're working your 9 to 5, or you're going to school full time, or you're working McDonald's, and then you're trying to post pictures of you in a bikini down at the beach because you got away once last year, right. This is what they do. They hire people to rent out a Taco Bell,
yes.
Put special lighting, post these pictures of the hair blown back. This is their job. This is what their whole thing is, to edit, to nudge, to nip, to tuck, to look perfect in every, and they've got photographers and all these things to make sure that they continue to influence, because that's what they do for a living. You got your own life. You're doing your own thing. So if you want to look like an influencer, now once in a while, you're going to find a diamond in a rough. You're going to find a woman that's never worked out a day in her life. She's just downright beautiful, and she can pull it off. She looks fantastic, but that's a rarity. So it's, you know, it's unfortunate, because I don't even know what to tell my 9-year-old at this point.
I love you, sweetie.
Yeah.
I mean, the body comparison thing, and I think with your 9-year-old is a really good example. It is, that's society. And again, society could be her friends, parents, friends of parents. It is society that is already infiltrating the way your young female daughter thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Diets. We talked about the holding the stomach in.
Yeah.
I found that out. I found that out. I'm 50.
Yeah.
And I started among friends who are women. I'm like, Do you hold your stomach in? You got to be really careful when you say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's close.
What do you do?
You know, but every woman I've spoken with, it's like when we talked about that, you talk to almost every woman has a story about where they were harassed at some level.
Yeah.
Right? Stomach in was the same thing. I'm like, oh, of course. Ever since I've been, you know, when 10 years old, I've held my stomach. Like, literally, I felt like,
I never knew.
I never knew. This is us as men, which is, I mean, it's a good thing. This is us men going, oh my God, we don't think about holding our stomach in.
Yeah.
We're told,
shoulders. Unless we're by the pool.
What?
Unless we're by the pool.
Yeah, no, this is all the time, 24/7. So you think about your daughter. Your daughter's thinking about, what do I look like? What do I look like? Do I look fat? Should I eat healthy food? Should I not? I'm seeing 7-year-olds. I'm vegan. I'm a vegan. How are you a vegan? Because so-and-so is a vegan or mommy's a vegan. Be from age 0 to 9. Oh, you're almost done, by the way. She's 9.
Whew,
okay.
Good.
From 0 to 9, congratulations.
Thank you. I made it.
You have to parent your hardest. It has to be the most consistent. It has to be spot on. You don't have to be perfect, but you better be at the top of your game from 0 to 9. Because after 9, it's not over. It's not over. But 0 to 9, your influence is like this. And then at 9, so yours goes up. At 9 to 10-ish, it peaks. And your influence starts coming downhill. And it's coming downhill. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14, 15, 16, you've bottomed out.
Yeah.
They don't give a rat's ass about what you think, how you think. And then, but now, the good thing is, if you did really good from 0 to 9, then it's like a stock. It bottoms out. It's okay. It's okay because you're diversified because you need it. And then at about, on average, 18, 19, 20, 21, is that first 22, is that time where we go, oh God, so that's why you told me to like clean up my room.
Yep.
Both of my kids were that way. Oh, this is why we had to clean our room. My room, my apartment's a mess. It's gross. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's parent, you have tears coming out of your eyes. Oh, you're back.
Yeah.
You're back. So it's really hard. I mean, parenting is super hard and most kids do okay. But if you want to do your best job, do it at 0 to 9. So congratulations, you're done for a while.